56 years old. That's the average age of farmers in the United States, and that number keeps going up as fewer and fewer young people step in to take their place. It's understandable when you realize how much unrelenting work it can take to make relatively little money. Now, for many farmers' children, leaving home means leaving the business for good. Nikiko Masimoto grew up working the peach harvest every year on the Masimoto family farm in California. And though she was a fourth-generation farmer in the making, before she left for college, she thought she was going to be leaving for good. Yet after a degree in gender studies, graduate work in Japanese-American history, and performance art, she returned back to the farm. Our contributor, Frances Lam, talked with her about what takes a young farmer back to her roots.
Hi, Nikiko. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Frances. I'm happy to be here.
So, growing up on a farm as you did, you had no choice but to work the summer harvest every single year. You know, 110 degrees, you're picking peaches, you're fixing tractors, you're sweaty. When you left to go to college, how much were you like, peace out, see you never?
I was 100% peace out. I never wanted to come back to the farm. I didn't even want to come back to the region, actually. I was hungry to expand my horizons. And going from a small town and living on a farm to UC Berkeley was the direction I wanted to go. And I never wanted to look back. But of course, life introduces us to our lack of control of it. And I find myself amazingly back in the exact place I should be.
But when did you realize that? When did you realize you wanted to return to the farm?
I had a very specific moment when the idea came back to me. I took a class in environmental studies my second year at UC Berkeley. And in this class, a guest lecturer came and talked about pesticides. And in this lecture, she talked about what the application of pesticides were doing to our environment and also the public health risks of intensive use of pesticides. And it was not until that moment that I was able to put what my family had done on our small organic 80-acre farm in a global and political context. And for me, as a 18-year-old gendered women's studies major, I realized that coming back to the farm to carry on that tradition might possibly be the most radical thing I could think of. Mm. And for me, that familial connection, I mean, I live in the house my dad grew up in. I lived in this house with my grandparents. It is the house that my jichan, my grandpa, passed away in. And that core of being, that is what gets me through the 110-degree days when there's still more work to be done. So I'm incredibly grateful for that.
You talk about returning, and I think everyone has a sense of returning. Like when they hear the word returning, it's automatically emotional for a lot of people, and they feel this sort of warmth and they feel this sort of comfort. But it's interesting because when I hear you say it too, it's, you know, you also return to a place that you really wanted to leave. And your father has, you know, your father's, you know, you also come back to a family farm that is, pardon me for saying this, but something of a legendary farm. It's well known, not just for your fruit, but also your father is a wonderful writer and a renowned writer. And I've also heard him say that when he was young, he thought he would leave the farm and never come back. So can you talk a little bit about that experience, that sort of family experience, the emotional experience of returning to this place and the sort of tensions there?
Oh, gosh. I could talk a lot about this. I do think it's interesting that both my dad and I had a similar experience of not wanting to come back at all. And actually, I think that quite possibly was what brought us back, that there was zero pressure. My jichan, my grandpa, put no pressure on my dad to come back. And I was fortunate that my parents, we never even talked about me farming until I came up with the idea, which was probably the best possible unfolding. as far as the tensions, I mean, working with family is intense. You know, I don't get to clock out and go grab a beer and, you know, contemplate quitting, right? Because you can't quit your family. And so it really has forced and invited both me and my dad and everybody else, my mom and my brother for sure, to really open hard conversations about how we communicate. What are our different ideas of what a farming life looks like, and how do we make all of those come together sustainably, joyously, but also working through conflict? It's been quite an experience.
Yeah, you can imagine that in a lot of family businesses, you know, working side by side. But it's not super typical where that family business is so physical in nature, and you're physically working side by side with your parents. And earlier when we spoke, you had mentioned the experience of aging in your family, yourself. Maybe you said you'd felt like maybe you had come to farming too late in a funny way.
I am very aware that deciding to farm with him really means I'm committing my life to witnessing and being present with him as he ages. And that's not easy. I am still on the you know, beginnings end of my life, hopefully, and I think about what is to come. And he's 60 and beginning to reflect. And you know, there are some things that physically over the coming decades are going to become harder and harder for him. And I'm not looking forward to that, but I know that I wouldn't trade going through that for doing anything else.
It was really lovely to talk with you. Thank you so much, Nikiko.
Thank you so much, Francis.
Nikiko Masimoto is the co-author with her parents, David Mas and Marcy Masimoto, of The Perfect Peach, a cookbook. Frances Lam is writer and editor of Cornbread Nation 7. Now, you can find a recipe for Nikiko and the family's peach melba on the website, splendidtable.org.